Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
And you've authored six books so far. You're still working on more, but your first book was Heartfelt Meditations, correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And this was a book of poetry that was basically inspired by scripture. Why did you write this book? I believe you said it was 2011?
I finished it in 2011. I'd picked at it for years. When I'm in school, because of the vision issues, not that I'm not good at it, it just requires a lot more than the average person. So what someone does in 5 minutes, it probably takes me easily 30 to 50 minutes to do it, or longer, depending on what it is. So when I got out of grad school, I got 20 to 50 hours back in my week that was sucked up by grad school.
That
was
I know how that is.
That was grad school. That wasn't me working outside of the home. No, that was strictly grad school. So when I was in high school and college, I would pick at it because I didn't have a lot of time. And so I went to, for the majority of my education prior to college, was in, except for kindergarten, first grade, and fourth grade, was private Christian. And I was at high school at a local private Christian high school in Monroe. And I had an English teacher that kind of opened my eyes to poetry and writing. I mean, I knew about poetry, but like writing it myself more, and that I could write whatever I wanted in my poetry. And at that time, I was on this thing about paying tribute and honoring people that meant something to me. So I would take their favorite verses and I would interpret them and what I thought God was wanting us to get out of. I mean, I'm not saying I'm God and I know what he always means. That's not what I'm saying. But through studying and really trying to seek and you know, delve into it, I would put out this poetry on these verses that I thought were important to people. And that's what it came to be. So, and I finished the last one in 2004, and then I published it in 2011. So,
amen. Yeah, I know when I did my master's degree and when I finally graduated, I was like the same way. I was like, wow, I got all this time now.
Yep.
What am I going to do?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what this is. What time? I don't know. What is this stuff?
I know. I told my wife, I said, I don't have nothing to do. I got to find something to do.
Wonderful.
Because everything was spent either working on research or doing reports or studying for an exam. Yep.
Sitting at Panera's for 8 hours, looking at articles and research and highlighters and ads. Oh, my gosh.
Amen. Well, let's move into your book, Scripture, Spirituality, and Culture, Seeking the Place of Our Faith and Beliefs in Today's Culture. Why did you write this book? I mean, what was the inspiration behind that?
Okay, this might be a little controversial, but it's the answer to the question. I have a little guilty indulgence. I watch a TV program that probably is not advisable, but it was a show put out by HBO. Your audience may know about it. They may not. It was called Sex and the City. That's not even the point. But I was watching an episode one night, and I noticed that the main character of Carrie Bradshaw, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, her job in it was a columnist, and she wrote about things that interest her, about observations she noticed in culture, about men and women and gender roles and identity and blah, 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 romance, love, sex, different things. But it made me start thinking. It started a thought process. If this, even though she was a fictitious character, but if a writer can write articles or short essays on her passions about her observations in one area of life, why can't I, as a writer, do that about the things that I'm passionate about, like my faith and spirituality? So it started the process of that. And then, of course, when I became a mom, I did it on motherhood. And then now that I got my master's in politics, I'm going to be doing it on politics and on and on. So when I was in grad school, I started collecting all these ideas and these percolations in my brain, which I was writing nonstop for the professors that we love so much because they give us great assignments that keep us so busy, you know.
That's right. But,
so I was writing nonstop, but it wasn't my stuff. So I just had to sit on it for 5 years, and I would hear things at church or a different place like, oh, that sounds interesting. That's a good something worth considering. So I kept a list of running things that I would just notice about what would be good conversation starters about things we need to talk about. Like, I don't really care if you agree with me. It's more of, I thought this was interesting. Let's start a dialogue.
Yeah.
And so anything on motherhood or politics or religion is a collection of my observations and experiences of, that's interesting. Let's start a conversation. And so I collected them, organized them, and that's the first book in that series. And so that's what it is. It's a collection of like articles on whatever I thought was interesting that might be good conversation for our society. So,
yeah, amen. Amen. How long did you say you were putting it together? For like 5 years, but once you actually sat down, how long did it take you to put together?
2 months, 3 months.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool. And that was published on Amazon as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then we have your book. I love this one. Before the Clock Strikes Midnight, a collection of truthful and wise words for the journey ahead. Now, if I read this correctly, you wrote this book as a way to pass on some pearls of wisdom to your children as they begin to travel their path in life, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Is this written to children, young adults, or mothers, or who's the target audience for this book?
Started out for my children. So when I wrote it and published it, which was last August. So that meant they had just turned 10 and 7. So I expect them to take it with them as they're kind of aging, and maybe my daughter could probably read it now and get it, but you know, kind of older adolescents, you're headed out into the world, you know, the big bag, scary world, high school, college, like, are you ready to leave the nest? Like, are you prepared? You know, like, you know, but it's also, I think, helpful for parents too, because it may give them food for thought about what do we really want to instill in our children and how do we want to raise them with what knowledge and truth and wisdom, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So this is basically one of these, as you get older, this is what I was trying to do, raising you type of book.
Yeah. Or I think we always tell our kids, now this is important, pay attention. But we say that about everything. So kids are playing. Yeah. You say everything is important. But it is. I'm not discounting that. But I did want to, at the end of the day, if my kids ever want to say, what do you really want me to know? And have it in one spot. There you go. It's right there.
Amen. Amen. And I want to touch on this book because it seemed at first a little different than what I was expecting. It's called Living the Beach Life. Reflections and lessons for life's journey learned in the waves of the ocean of life. This book is not just about kicking back on the beach drinking margaritas, right?
Hey, but there ain't nothing wrong with that either now.
So what's this book about?
Well, I'm a beach girl. I always have been. I love the beach. When I feel like, I don't know, some people like skiing, some like the mountains. And I think certain parts of nature and the outdoors call to people differently. Mine's the beach. I feel like I'm at peace and serene, and being in God's creation at the beach just really speaks to me. And I get very reflective and just taking it in. But so we were there in the North Carolina beach 2018 on a family vacation. And my daughter's like me in that respect. She loves being in the waves with mommy. We call it our wave buddies. We're buddies. We'll go be in the waves together. My son's like, nah, I'm good on the shore. Leave me alone. I'm like, okay, I'm going in the water. And I was just in the water with my daughter. And like I said, it got me very reflective. I was like, wow, these are waves. It's kind of like, so it got the creative juices flowing about what can we learn from nature? Cause I think we can learn from nature and about life and how it applies. So I just started getting these ideas about things that I saw in the ocean and beach life that is applicable to a life's journey, and it kind of helped me delve into a little of my own journey. So,
amen, amen. And now I want to shift a little bit, just a little bit, to your next two books. The first one is Take a Sip, Take a Breath, and Go, A Journey Through Motherhood. And this is the first book, okay?
Yes.
And you start off with a question. Have you ever found yourself thinking, what have I gotten myself into? And I think I can answer that for almost everyone, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So give me some insight about that.
To be really relatable and very conversational in most of my writing, because I think that helps people, because we're all doing it. We're all going through something of similar common experience. It may be a little bit different because we're different points at it, or we're, you know, a different type of personality. We relate to different, but it's still the same journey. I was living in New Hampshire, of course, at the time. This was 2010 when my daughter was born. Most of my girlfriends, I was 26 hours away from family and friends. I had a few in New Hampshire, but one wasn't a mom yet. And the other one, we knew each other, but we didn't like know each other yet. So I wasn't like doing play dates and getting coffee and mommy days out type stuff. I was doing it I had my husband, I'm not saying that, but as a woman starting out this new journey, I was by myself. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to bounce it off of girlfriends. Like, I went through this today, but I don't know why, you know, and my kid's doing this, is this normal, you know, blah, blah, blah. I live 26 hours away from everybody. And a lot of times John would be gone because he was military. So all I really had were my own thoughts. And I thought, well, I'm a writer. Let me write them down. Even if it's just for me as I'm journaling through this journey. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Half the population are women, which means half the population are at least trying to have babies at some point for most of them. So I'm not the only one this has got to be familiar to. So if I'm thinking it, pretty sure someone else is thinking it. So I thought it would be a good idea just to share that with other women who are going through it too.
Amen. Amen. And what's the response been?
It's been pretty positive. I mean, So everyone that's read it's liked it. So that's a good thing.
Amen. Amen.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. I just want to jump in here real quick and encourage you to go down into the show notes and take a look at all the great books that Michaela Cox has written and made available for you. These books can help you in so many ways. I would love it. I know Michaela will as well. If you drop down into the show notes and order one or more of her books as we continue with this great interview. Amen. Just click the links down below and order your books today. Now let's go back into the interview with Michaela Cox.
And then the companion book that goes with this, it was just recently published, Take a Sip, Take a Breath, and Go, a companion book for exploring and discovering your own journey through motherhood. Why was this book necessary?
I wrote the book about my journey, and yes, while it's similar to other women, I can't really speak for other women and exactly how they feel about their own journey, so I figured it might be nice for them, since I was reflective and explored to help me learn about myself and my new role and how I wanted to grow in it, if they had a chance to write down their own reflections on the questions I proposed in it, as they're going through their own to kind of self-guide them as well, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. And there's several lists in this book. I thought they were great. You say this book will help you to develop your quote-unquote mother voice. I had to laugh at that because, you know, my kids, they're older now. They're in their 40s. But they told me before how, you know, I'd tell them to go do something and they would, you know, like, yeah, we'll get to it later type attitude. Until they detected the tone of the voice change. Then they knew. that we better get this done and get it done now. Is that what you mean by mother's voice?
That is true, but that's not even really what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
What I mean by that is true. That is absolutely true. My kids know it too. Like something happened the other day. Like, oh crap, let's go. Like, mom, no, we're gonna make this right over myself. But what I meant by that is, I feel like when you are starting something new and it's unfamiliar, our world, for whether good intentioned or not, is filled with so many voices of you need to be doing this, I advise you to do this, that at the end of the day, you're the mom and it's your kid. But sometimes because you're so new and maybe timid and unsure of yourself and you're listening to all these voices that are chaotic, you can't really develop the voice that's guiding you and yourself about, no, this is what your kid needs and that's okay for you to trust that you know what's what. And you don't have to listen to everybody else. And until you realize that and kind of start on your journey a little bit, you can't really find your own voice. And I think we as women need to be able to develop that and trust that, no, we have actually got this and we really do know what's best. Now, is it good to consider other voices and be guided and take in research when we come across a problem? Absolutely. But still, at the end of the day, you know your kid better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to trust that voice and do what you know what's best for your kid and your family.
Amen.
And forget everybody else.
And you said that this is a way for them to insert their thoughts and things like that into the book. And you got spaces in there for that?
Yes. I took each question because each book, I feel like it's one thing to read a book, but if we don't apply it, we're going to forget the knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So at certain books, I always put questions at the end for them to consider what they've thought about in those chapters. So in a companion book, what I basically do is the questions that I put for the chapters in the motherhood book, I put each question has its own page and there's like lines for you to think about that question and write your own process and thoughts and reflections on it.
Okay, like a little journal type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And this was released, I believe, last fall, right?
When the book was released September 2019. The companion book was April of 2020.
Okay, about a year ago then. Okay.
I don't know. I'm getting everything mixed up. COVID and
well, it's not off. Like you only got one or two books. That
yeah.
You
read. But it was about 6 months apart, I think.
Okay. So. All right. And the reason I said that is because you still have works in the works. You got this one that's about ready to be published called We the People. Yep. I believe you said that's your next book that's going to be released. Tell us about that book.
I could very easily live, breathe, sleep politics. Okay. Most people aren't like that. And I get that. And it's not even about what you agree with or what side. My point of view in politics is it's more of understanding what our country is about. The partisan politics will eventually hopefully work itself out, but don't hold your breath. That's a different animal in politics. I'm talking about having the knowledge and the information of understanding who we are, what we are, the purpose of us, because if we want to protect this most unique, brilliant invention, creation, adventure that was created that had never been seen by the likes of anybody in the world. And even one of our forefathers, I believe Benjamin Franklin said, we gave this to you. It's up to you to keep it. Mm-hmm. And so the only way to keep it and preserve it is to know what it is. And if you don't know what it is, you will lose it because you don't even know what you're supposed to be preserving. Now, yes, I will admit I am more conservative in my own personal beliefs, but that's not what I'm talking about here. And even if I was proposing conservatism in it, I'm a constitutionalist above first and foremost. I don't give a flying flip what a person's political affiliations are. It comes down to the Constitution, then you worry about that because that's the rules Amen. Of the game of the country. And it's like any sport, whatever activity you enjoy, you play by the rules. Even when you play a board game with your kids at home, you play by the rules. You don't understand the rules, you can't play the game. And even if you have a problem with the game, you can't fix the game if you don't know how the rules were created to begin with because you don't know where you came from. I get a little passionate about it. Sorry, I'm on my soapbox. So in this book, I really looked at, let's define who we are as We the People. Let's look at it. What is our purpose? Who makes up We the People? What is our role? What are we us responsible for? And really delving into those aspects so that we can know as the people individually and collectively as a nation and We the People, this really is our country. And we have to protect it, and we have to defend it, we have to fight for it, and we have to preserve it. And the only way we can do that is by knowing what the heck we're talking about.
Amen. Amen. And that's all in this book. When is it going to be released?
I wanted it to release by the election, but then it happened. So I'm really hoping the first or second week of March.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So just about time this podcast goes published, yeah. It should be released. So if that's the case, I'll put a link to it down on the show notes.
And I can send that to you as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Amen. And then you're also working on another book. How do you live? I mean, you must have a typewriter glued to your fingers or something.
No, my kids are old enough where they're in school now. So what happened was when they were young, I did grad school work during nap time and bedtime and on the weekends yeah. when my husband didn't have drill. So I realized like, ooh, I have all this amazing time that I'm discovering what extra time is now that I'm not in grad school. instead of doing grad school work during nap time and on the weekends and at night, I can write. Wow, what a concept. So now that they're in school, I write in the mornings, like, I don't know, 9 to 12 or 1 until my eyes get tired or whatever. And then
I just do nothing. Amen. Well, you're working on a book called Now I See. And tell us about this new book.
That I actually haven't started writing it, but I will be writing it this year because right now I'm writing my second religious one.
Okay.
But that one will be the first book in kind of the series about my life. And it's going to be kind of an overall picture of starting kind of laying the foundation. And then that'll probably be a 5-book series or 6 Amen. Book series. Amen. And it'll delve more into the, after I lay the foundation of kind of the overall picture, I'll delve in way deeper into different aspects of my story in the series. So,
yeah. Amen. Amen. So you're working on another religious book. What's that?
Yes.
What's that one called?
See, this is how funny my brain is. And it really is awesome and amazing, but not so much when you're already writing one project. Cause you're like, can I just get through the first one before you give me more work to do and shut up so I can remember the declarative sentence that I had in my head that needs to go on this computer right now? So it's a good problem, but it's just annoying when you're already trying to write. But I realized when I was writing the first one, some of the subjects I was talking about really could be a deep dive and going deeper. So I decided it needed to be book two. So it was kind of the idea of Daniel and being a difference maker in his culture because he was so in contrast to the culture he was in.
Yeah.
Amen. And I was going to call it something like that, but I've changed the title recently. This one's going to be called A Ripple Effect to Reviving Our Culture.
Okay. Oh, amen. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm working on that one right now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Michaela, this is all so fascinating. I mean, you personally have been through things that most of us could never even begin to comprehend, but by the Lord's grace and your determination, you are persevering. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
I have a website and I can get you that information. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Instagram, but everything that you could need to know is on my website. Exactly. Okay. If you want, I can put the link in the chat. Would that be helpful?
Well, you just tell me what the website is. Myheartfeltmeditations.com. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I've got that. Okay. I just want to make sure that was the right one.
Yep.
And is there a contact form on the website for them to reach out to you?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Outstanding. Please let me know when your next book is published here in the next week or so of the time we're doing this recording, because I'll put that down in the show notes as well as we share this with our listeners. Amen.
Okay.
So, all right. So, and your books, we talked about how they're available on Amazon. Is that how you want someone to order your books?
Yes, for right now. I eventually will probably delve into what also in the publisher room, we'll call it expanded distribution when you're outside of the Amazon bubble. Mm-hmm. And you do it through Ingram Sparks, but I'm not quite there yet, but I will be doing that. And I hope to eventually do audiobooks, but that unfortunately requires more money. That's a little bit more of an expensive process than me just banging something out on my computer.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, you heard really just a snippet of the things Michaela Cox shares in her books. I mean, I want to try and give you an overview of all she has to offer. And she's accomplished a lot using her talents as a writer, taking care of her boys, and at the same time, encouraging and inspiring others along the way with her books and through her writing. I want to encourage you to order one or more of her books. I mean, the links are down below in the show notes. In fact, they're very affordable. I would recommend you buy, my recommendation is you buy 2 or 3. I mean, if you're part of a book club, these books will be a great addition for your reading material. If you're a mom, especially a single mom, these are basically a must read. I mean, the encouragement you'll receive just knowing others are going through the same challenges you are will bless you immensely. And I've read some of the reviews that Michaela has on Amazon. They are amazing, all of themselves. I mean, just use the links down below and you'll be able to get them very quickly. And then reach out to Michaela, ask a question, or just offer a word of encouragement. Amen. Michaela, I want to thank you for your time and coming on the program today. I do appreciate it.
Something that might be interesting, I haven't started yet, but I've just gotten a brainstorm about, I'm going to be starting a Facebook community in April for the people who are walking the journey of grief and heartbreak and loss. So it's still in the works. I'm not there yet, but I hope to have it up in April, so I'll be adding that.
Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah. Give me, you put your Facebook page down in the chat. I'll add that as a link so that they can go ahead and reach out to you through Facebook as well, and then they can join your
group. Bear with me while I juggle computer and
folks. That is all the time we have for today. From Michaela Cox and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.